to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains, and welcome home. You are back on the Edge with April Mahoney, and today we've got a great, great guest. I want you to know that his bark is bigger than his bite. We have attorney Dan Fulkerson. He's here on the Edge. Dan Fulkerson is the pet parent of three bulldogs. He's young, he's spirited, and vivacious. He is one of the founding attorneys of Bata Fulkerson Law Group. Things like helping find the right medical care, dealing with insurance companies and other partners involved in personal injury, coming to your house, those are just a few of the things that they do that differentiate them from other attorneys that handle personal injury cases. He is very philanthropic. He was, got accolades all the way through his college degrees for his smarts in being an attorney. But he's just a down-home, cool guy that likes fast cars and bulldogs. We want to bring him here on the Edge. Welcome, Dan. Good morning.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. The Brains are looking forward to this. You are going to pour into us in so many ways. Again, as people always do, we want to find out who is Dan the man. How did this all start for you to just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I want to be an attorney?
So, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of people get into my industry and my practice for the wrong reasons. And if I'm honest with you, April, that's probably what motivated me was, you know, financial success and trying to, you know, position myself where money wasn't going to be an issue in life. And I'm just very, very, very lucky and very blessed that in that journey, which was probably, you know, started because of the wrong things, I found something that I love, and I found what I'm supposed to be doing with my life and why I think I was put here on this earth. So I think I got pretty lucky because a lot of people, yeah, I do for the wrong reasons, and they never find that thing, and I happen to find my path.
Well, you know what? I don't believe in luck. It is being prepared and the right opportunity showing up because you worked hard. You know, I did my research on you, and you have raving accolades from fellow classmates that you were a mentor to them. So you already had the smarts and all of that, you know, but you had the wherewithal and you had the bandwidth to stick with it and create this great business model for attorneys. Tell us a little bit about Bata. Is it Bata or Bata? How am I pronouncing
Bata,
it correctly?
Bata Fulkerson. My law partner is Paul Bata, and I'm obviously
Bata.
Dan Fulkerson, so it's Bata Fulkerson Law Group.
Okay. So tell us about you and your partner.
So we started the firm 3 years ago, and we started it after, you know, I've been in personal injury now for 11 years, and in my opinion, it's an industry that needs change and needs change now because it's, you know, we've all heard the reputation and the stories of the sleazy, slimy ambulance chasers that you meet with and you feel like you got to go take a bath or a shower after you meet with them, and the reason that that reputation and that stigma exists is because it's real. Those people exist. I was around them. I worked with them. I saw them, and it's when you're in an accident and you're significantly hurt and your life's turned upside down, that's the last thing you need to be dealing with. Someone that's just trying to put, you know, their best interest in front of your own. And after seeing it for so long, we left and decided it was time to start it on our own and start a new way. And so we've created a firm and a personal injury firm that has a different type of setup than any other injury firm that I've seen. And from things like, we're never going to take a dollar more from our, you know, and our fees and what our clients put in their pocket for their pain and suffering. And I tell every client that from day one, so there's no insecurity. We give every single client our direct cell phone numbers. There should never be communication issues. You need to get me on a Saturday or on a Sunday, you get me. You're connected to me at all time and not paralegal or a law clerk, me. That's who you're hiring. So just, you know, making it about the client, making sure that that's what comes first, because I know in the long term, that's how you get to where you want to be, is by putting other people in front of your own interests and truly doing that in a sincere way. And that's how in 3 years we become one of the biggest personal injury offices in San Diego. And last year we were named the best law firm in San Diego by San Diego Union Tribune after 2.5 years, which is humbling to say the least.
Right, right. Who does that? Who does that? And you guys have a wicked look, too. You got the bulldog with the sunglasses on the jacket. I don't know how I can be down, but I got to get one of those jackets.
We're keeping it fresh. We're doing it a different way. I mean, like I said, the industry needs change. It needs, you know, it needs some imagination, some creativity, just done a different way. And that's what we're trying to do, is just outside of the box. How can we bring our profession to modern day? Because it really has been stuck probably for the last 20, 30 years, and it needs to catch up.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you grow up with privilege? And I ask you that because there's a different mindset of people. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, he grew up, he's got his own law firm, he doesn't have to worry about money, he had great grades in school. But was that a part of your upbringing, or is that just something that has grown with you as you've matured?
So it's one of those things that I come from a unique household situation. My parents got divorced at an early age, and my father had money, but my mother did not. And so I got to see both sides of it, and I live with my mom. So it was, no, I wouldn't say privilege, but I was never in need. But it was always one of those things that from watching the situation with my mom and watching that insecurity, that was probably the driving force in, you know, why I worked so hard in school and why, you know, I pushed myself to be as successful as, you know, I am, and academically especially, was that I saw that insecurity. And so I wouldn't say privileged, but was always lucky enough and blessed enough to, you know, have the things that I need. And I've seen how other people that are very close in my life have grown up, and I'm grateful that I had opportunities, but there was always still watching my mom and watching, you know, the struggle that she had. And that was always something that lit a fire in me.
So that leads me into my next question, because your sense of balance, me and you had a pre-conversation before we were doing this interview, and we had a conversation about the word boss and your philosophy about the people that work on your team, that work with you, your partner. Tell me, what is your philosophy about being, quote-unquote, a boss?
I mean, I hate the word. Like, it bothers me. I just don't believe in using it. I'm not a boss. I'm lucky enough to have the people on my team, and I'm lucky enough to be able to work with them. And when I hear the word boss, I instantly correct it and go, no, we work together. And people will introduce, hey, this is my boss, Dan. I don't like it. I don't like the setup of that, because this is a team effort. We're all working for the same thing. And if you want people to take ownership in their work, you want people to be happy coming to work, you want people to know that they're a part of something, you can't put it in the terms of boss, because that's not how it should be. You should want your people to grow with you. And I think maybe I do it too far, in the sense of I have team members that I'm pushing out of my office right now because I know that there's bigger things in life for them. And it's going to be a huge detriment to my law firm when they leave, but I also know it's the best thing for them. And so I think that that's what I mean when I say that long-term vision is you do it in everything, sincerely. And even when it's, you know, going to be a hardship for you, if that's the best thing for other people, that's what you should push them to. And so that's how we've set up our team structure. And that's why everyone loves where they work. Everyone's happy where they work. And as a result, my clients get fantastic results because they have true 100% dedication from the team.
Right, right. And that's so important, that you are a bridge that helps carry other people safely across. You know, you have to do that. You have to outgrow your mentors. You have to outgrow your structure or your current job so that you can, you know, expand your wings and you can fly. So let's talk about
that's
flying.
That's more important in life than anything. I mean, and that's how people get true satisfaction in life, is finding, you know, their path. And if they stay too long in a place that should be a temporary placeholder, that's going to hold you back from happiness and from all sorts of other things. So when I see it, I start pushing people. Hey, I know that this isn't where you're going to be on the long term. What can we do to help you get to where you need to be? And so even when it means I got to find a new team member and replace someone that I love having on the team, if that's for their best interest in the long run, that's what needs to happen.
Well, and I'm sure that they can appreciate that, because it's going to come back twofold. There will always be a relationship there that you two have built. I want to ask you about a video that you did, a short clip that really, really impacted my heart. You were speaking to motorcycle riders and asking them to be more safe and to be more careful because you were on your way up to, I think, Riverside. You were saying to meet with someone that had just been involved in a devastating crash. Can you give us a snapshot of what that looks like, some suggestions and some word to the wise? Because as I drive down the 405 or 805, and when these motorcycles come and split the lane, you know what, you're getting over and they're moving fast, you're moving fast, clipping them, and people's lives are forever changed. Give us some suggestions on and some love offerings on how these motorcycle people can be a little bit safer and what we can do in cars to protect ourselves and protect them.
Of course, yeah, and it's one of the more tragic parts of what we do is we help a lot of motorcycle victims from accidents. And when you're in a motorcycle accident, it's not just a little, you know, oh, I need to see a chiropractor for a few weeks. It's a life-changing type of deal most of the time. Okay. And last week I was up in Riverside twice for two individuals that were hit on motorcycles and, you know, have had multiple surgeries and will never be the same. And to see someone have their life turned upside down like that, it's really, really, really hard to watch. And in the last 5 years, I'll tell you, bro, it's become an increased issue, and I blame cell phones. I think cell phones are a big part of it. I see it on both
cell phones,
sides. I used to ride
I know that the motorcycle, I know the motorcycle driver is not on the cell phone because he needs
no,
both
it's
hands.
A lot of cars, and that's what I was going to say. From my point of view, it's I put more of it on car drivers than I do motorcycle drivers, and let me tell you why. The laws in California contribute to this, and they don't help. Reason why? It's legal to split lanes in California completely. That's their legal right to split lanes. A lot of states make it where it's outlawed, and in my opinion, it's too unsafe to allow that to be legal. So California law should change where lane splitting is not legal, but they allow it because of the traffic issues that we have here. However, I can tell you that from doing this for the last 10 years, in the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen a huge increase in motorcycle accidents. And from what I'm seeing, a lot of it is from distracted drivers that are on their cell phones, texting, driving, on social media when they're driving. And because of, you know, the speed and the agility of bikes, and when a car driver is not paying full attention, these kind of tragedies happen. And I don't think that it's a biker issue as much as it is a distracted driver issue, because, again, the biker situations haven't changed in the last 10, 15 years. But the cell phone and technology in cars have, and the radical increase in these motorcycle accidents, it's hard not to look at that and draw parallels to that. So I do think a lot of it is distracted drivers on cell phones. Yes, the laws in California should change, but my thing is, and I say this to all my biker friends, and I know it's something you do, something that you love, something that you're passionate about, but is it worth your life? Is it worth your family? If you got kids, is it worth not being able to be there for your kids? And when you put it in that perspective, you really got to question it, because these streets are not safe anymore. And I don't say that to, you know, take the fun out of anyone's life. I say that because I care about people, and I'm sick of seeing really nice people have their lives turned upside down forever as a result of motorcycles. And so I have an attorney in my office, John Houts. He's got 6 bikes. He's been riding for 40 years. I beg him every day to stop riding. I get it. It's in some people's blood, but the streets are not the same as they were 5, 10 years ago.
Right. So in a situation like that, I mean, I know every case is different. Can you retrieve the records from the cell phone provider to see if that person was actually on the cell phone?
Yeah, you can a lot of times. You can subpoena records and you can see that. But the thing about technology these days, April, and you know, I mean, I'm sure you know this, just by, you know, if you think about it.
I'm losing you a little bit.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the thing about technology these days is you can track text messages, you can track phone calls. What's harder to track and what a lot of the distractions are social media, from people just scanning through, looking through, liking posts. That's a lot of it, and that's a harder thing to track, and that's a harder thing to be able to pull. So those kind of distracted cases are a harder thing to prove, whereas when you've been texting and you can have records and logs of that, those are things that are easy to subpoena and show. But when it's more of a social media browsing distraction, which is common, unfortunately, in our younger generation, that's something that's a harder thing to show.
Wow. Wow. That, you know, I tell people all the time, I see on social media, I'm looking and I'm interviewing people, and I'll see that they are recording a video as they're in the car. That's an automatic unfriend. Yeah. It's an automatic unfriend for me. It's a non-negotiable because you're not responsible enough to think about yourself. You have your kids in the car, and you want to tell somebody about a recipe or a book that you've written or whatever. All of that is minuscule. You can wait till you pull over and park. Really take what you're saying, Brains, into consideration. You know, your life is hanging in the balance. Every time you turn on the car, just to get in it, much less being distracted. So,
We started a campaign last year, April, a don't text and drive, get off your phone while you're in your car campaign. We reached out to local radio stations and sponsored this campaign, not in any way as an ad campaign. It barely even said our name. It just said, Bada Fulkerson wants to remind you, please stay off your phones. Please don't text and drive. You can wait.
Wow.
Put your phones away. We started that campaign because we were sick of seeing what we're seeing. We know that that hurts our business. You know, people texting and driving, creating accidents, that's business. We don't want that business. We're sick of seeing it. We want people to be safe when they're driving. And a big part of it is cell phones. And truthfully, automated cars can't come soon enough. I'm hoping they're here soon because it's just sad to see so many lives impacted as a result of, you know, things that can be avoided so easily.
Right, just by waiting and taking your time. You also do things
about
that
people.
Well, you also have clients with brain injuries. You know, we're always talking about the brain here on the edge because we have brains. What is that like? Is that like medical malpractice? How does that work in conjunction with personal injury?
So medical malpractice is something that happens when you're getting medical attention, hospital, doctor, anything like that, any medical, you know, related care, and the medical staff or the facility does something wrong. That's medical malpractice. So I do more personal injury where it's motorcycle, car accidents, premise liability type situations. So a little different. But unfortunately in my practice, you know, with these serious injury situations, we see a lot of traumatic brain injuries and a lot of head injuries. Whether that be in the form of, you know, concussions and then post-concussive syndrome afterwards, or whether it's really, really serious, you know, brain bleeds and things of that nature. And brain injuries are the scariest injury to me because it can change who you are, and it can change who you are forever. And that's something that, you know, it's the most important thing in our body is our brains. And so it really is when you see brain injuries, those are the worst ones because it can change you for forever.
Wow. Well, let's change the subject to something a little bit more philanthropic.
Right on this happy Saturday?
Exactly. You got some stuff going on. Okay, number one, tell them what you're doing right now, and then we're going to talk about the dog park.
Well, so right now, and I apologize if this reception's been bad in any way, we are sponsoring a 5K race down on Crown Point Park on Mission Bay for Gigi's Playhouse, which helps with Down syndrome community and helps raise funds for Down syndrome children. So we're out here sponsoring that. We got our 18-foot tall blow up bulldog out here. The kids are all taking pictures with it. I'm out here. I got my bulldogs out here with me. So I'm just kind of stepped off to the side to be able to be with you to do this. So I appreciate you allowing me to do both at the same time.
Absolutely.
But that's where we're at today.
Absolutely.
And, you know, thank you. I really do appreciate it. And the dog park's like, it makes me glow. I love it so much. I lived in Little Italy for a few years. Now I'm in Mission Hills. But when I was in Little Italy, there was a little dog park that wasn't even a dog park. It didn't even have fences. And everyone in the community would take their dogs there, and they'd run around, and I'd take all my dogs there. And we reached out to Little Italy about a year and a half ago and asked them what we could do to help them make it a formal park and help them fence it in, make it safe, you know, make it so, you know, people feel comfortable bringing their dogs there in the community. And we were lucky enough to be able to partner with them, and we're getting ready to finish it. We'll have a grand opening here in the next month, but it is now the Bada Fulkerson Community Dog Park in Little Italy, which for me is probably the greatest thing ever because
dogs
are my life. So to be able to have a dog park that'll be there forever, you know, is just it really makes me so happy. And so, yeah, that's the dog park in Little Italy, the Bada Fulkerson Community Dog Park.
Well, you know, and let me ask you, Is the city helping you support keeping it clean? Because I go downtown. I love our downtown. I love the high rises, but it is so nasty. People's dogs are just defecating everywhere. They power wash, and they can't power wash it enough. People, clean up after your dogs. Take them to the dog park so they can enjoy running around, barking up a storm with the other dogs, but also so that it's clean and sanitary and it's keeping San Diego beautiful, because this is America's finest city. Are they partnering with you? Are they going to help you with that?
They are, and it's actually Little Italy Association has been fantastic. And Little Italy, they go above and beyond to try to make sure that community is clean. They spend a lot of money and a lot of resources in doing so. So yeah, they've been great, and that's why we reached out to partner with them, because we realize that takes resources to do that. And so we're very willing and happy to give back to a community that's given us so much. And that's a big part of our philosophy, is we take a little bit out of every single case that we settle and we put it in a community fund, and that goes back to the community and all sorts of different things. We sponsor 20 different nonprofits in San Diego, from dog rescues to, children's cancer nonprofits to, veteran military nonprofits. We want to make sure that we are actively giving back to a community that has given us so many opportunities. And like you said, is America's finest city. This is the place that I'm going to be till the day that I die, and I want to make it a better place than when I came to it.
Well, you're doing a fine job. You really are. So tell me about your bulldogs and your love for bulldogs. I'm a dog lover, too. I think I've adopted, since me and Mr. Magnificent have been married, about 13 dogs. He told me I couldn't have another one, and I saw your bulldogs. I don't know.
Well, I didn't know that about you, and that makes me love you, because
I'm a dog. I'm going to bring Jean-Pierre to the grand opening. He's only 4 pounds, so I have to hold him in my arms, but I'm bringing him to the grand opening of the dog park for sure.
I can't wait to meet him. And that's a fantastic name, and I will let you know when that date is so you can be there. And yeah, I mean, thank you for rescuing the dogs that you have, because there are so many dogs that need to be rescued in our community, so I appreciate that you do that. And yeah, my bulldogs run my life. I mean, I'm probably to the extreme where I always say, like, if I get into an elevator and there's people and dogs, I'm going to say hello to every dog before I even recognize that there's a person in the elevator. And I hope no one finds that rude, but that's just honest. I mean, that's just how I am. And so yeah, my dogs, they run my life, and I don't have bad days because of them. And that's why they're the mascot. And I started bringing them to the office probably about 6 years ago. And I brought them originally selfishly for me, because I just want them to be around me all the time. And what I realized is I have clients coming in that are banged up and injured, and the last thing they want to be is sitting with an attorney. It's just not where you want to be in life. It's a bad situation that brought you there. And then my dogs walk up, and they sit down next to that person, and the person kind of looks down and then reaches down and pets them. And then slowly it all dissipates, and slowly that anxiety goes away. And then I can come out, we can have a real conversation as human beings, and we can get to know each other on a different level, and it changes everything. And as soon as I realized that, the dogs started coming everywhere. And so they're now kind of like the emotional support dogs. And
absolutely.
It's to the point where I think my clients, like my dogs more than they like me. They'll ask, well, when I come in to sign this document, will you make sure the dogs are there? And so it's pretty funny, and it's become a part of our culture and a part of our brand.
Well, it is, and it was funny. I said, why bulldogs of all things? You say, because they remind me of just big, dumb people.
Yeah, that's what they are, and they're the most loving animals. They can tell when something's wrong with you. They can tell when you're hurt. They can tell when they are very, very – they're stupid dogs. Don't get me wrong. On the spectrum of dogs, and I mean this with all due respect, they run my life, but they're not intelligent dogs. But they have a sense for when someone needs love. They have a sense for that, and I've watched it with my clients. I've watched it when I've gone through things, and the love that they're able to show – and give is just something that I grew up with labs. I grew up with retrievers. I'll never have anything but bulldogs for the rest of my life. They're just different. And I think to each his own, like nothing, it's all, dogs are all amazing, but there's something about a bulldog to me.
Are they big droolers? Do they drool a lot?
You everyone asks that, like, hey, well, how's the, you know, the gas situation and the drooling and snoring? And I've seen that with other dogs. I got really, really lucky. I mean, I have some of the best bulldogs. Like, they're healthy. I have a 13-year-old Stella, an 8-year-old Winston, a 3-year-old Dolly. They don't drool. They don't snore. They all sleep in my bed. I have two king-size beds that I push together. So I have, like, a literal bedroom, and me and my girlfriend and then her rescue dog, my three bulldogs. And so it's just, like, it's chaos. But that's my life, and I love it.
Well, and you know what? And we love you for all that you do, for your philanthropic work, for your mindset, for your business model, just, you know, for taking the time out to negotiate and be the facilitator for people that are injured and having a level of integrity that's scaled up. I really, really mean that because, like you said, I've had situations with an attorney, and once you have that initial consultation, you don't hear from them anymore until it's time to sign on the dotted line and to split the money. So to
and
be able to have your
standard,
personal phone
that's
number.
That's the unfortunate standard. You are exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it's like you said, ambulance chasers, but you're not doing that. You're chasing bulldogs. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you.
Is what I'm chasing.
Tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they need your services or if there's somewhere that they can help with the dog park. How can they get in contact with Dan Falkerson?
Well, I hope – I mean, I really say this sincerely. I hope no one ever needs my services, because if you need my services, it means that you've been in a pretty traumatic and bad situation, and, you know, I don't wish that on anyone. So hopefully no one that, you know, is following you, none of the brains ever need me. But if they do, you can find us online, bottafulkerson.com. You know, everyone has my direct cell phone number. It's 858-252-2222. Our office number is 619-333-5555. My cell phone's always on me. You can find us on Instagram, Bada Fulkerson. You can find us on Facebook, Bada Fulkerson. But, yeah, again, I hope no one ever needs us. But even if people just have questions, people just, you know, hey, this happened to me, or it's a damage situation, I'm always there to answer questions. I'm always there to give advice, so anyone can call me with anything like that.
All right. Well, I can't wait for the opening of the dog park. I don't do 5K runs. I usually, like, hold the water and hand it out to other people. But I encourage you to go out and check out the new dog park that's going to be down in Little Italy here in San Diego. And if you do need an attorney that cares, Bada Fulkerson Law Group is the place for you, brains. Go out and check us out. We are everywhere on the planet. Instagram, Spotify, Mixcloud. We're talking about art, entertainment, music, science, research, philanthropy, motorcycles, in the good way. So thanks again, Dan, for coming here on The Edge. I appreciate you. Please come back. Share with me what you're doing. Be sure to let me know when that the grand opening is, so I can tell everybody that I know so they can bring their dog.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
All right. Bye, brains.